Welcome back. You're watching Stockwatch with me, Zinathi Guma. Tackling your stock-related questions this evening are David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities and Wayne McCurry from FNB Wealth and Investments. Send those questions via SMS to 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Thank you so much to the both of you for joining us as I stand in for Julieta today. There's actually, there was a comment from a viewer that said there's way too much focus on recession. Recessions are just part of market cycles and present excellent opportunities to the savvy investor. And I'd actually like to know, starting with you, David, I mean, do you think that the recession worries are overdone, or do you think that it's an actual real risk for the economy and for markets?
I have no idea. Nobody has any idea, to be honest, where we're going to go. And I sat through a presentation just to explain, one of very, very large international wealth manager. And they just started saying, well, there's four things that can happen. We can have stagflation, recession, reflation, or soft landing. And in each case, all they did is give it a weighting. And I was waiting to say, so what do you think? And there was no, what do you think? And I think everybody's battling. And without taking too much time, I listened to all the central bank governors today talking in Portugal. And even they are trying to find their way through. The best is Powell, who hopes, says that the economy is strong enough to avoid a recession. But I don't think you can make any big bets on what's going to happen.
Yeah. Wayne, on your side, I mean, we've had one of the worst halves in decades. We are about to wrap up the first half of 2022. Could this mean a bad year for markets?
Yes, definitely. I mean, interest rates and inflation are going up. I mean, interest rates in America is the highest in 40 years. It's actually quite a bit higher than South African inflation, and interest rates are going to go up to counteract that inflation. I mean, make no mistake, the Federal Reserve in the US, inflation is enemy number one. They will push the economy into a recession if they have to counteract inflation. And I agree with the viewer, recessions is just part of life in the world and in economies and in markets, same as bear markets is part of life. It happens on a very, very regular basis. Between 8 or 12 years, you get a recession. I mean, the US GDP is probably negative as we speak. I mean, the leading indicators are turning over. I think it's quite likely we will get a recession. I think it'll be mild, and I don't think it'll last long, simply because inflation in the second half of next year is going to plummet. And we'll see interest rate cuts in the second half of next year. But the recession is quite possible and maybe even quite likely. And we're in a bear market, and I still think there's more to come. But to come back to what the viewer said, this is all part of the investment and economic cycle.
Yeah. We did see yesterday in the U.S. consumer confidence slumping in June, and then locally as well, we did see consumer confidence slumping to a more than a 30-year low. So, Mr. Price, actually being one of the biggest losers on the JSE today, and I just want to know, I mean, at this time, do you steer clear of the retail sector in South Africa, David, or is it a case of picking which retailers to go for?
Probably pick which retailers. The food retailers will probably do better than the apparel retailers, and simply that you have to eat.
Yeah.
Which ones you're going to choose, I'm not quite sure. It's quite odd that you asked the question, because I was looking at charts, and I'm the world's worst chartist, so don't take my views as being definitive. But if I looked at Mr. Price, it looks like it's rolling over. In other words, it looks like there's pressure on the downside, to put it in simple terms. Whereas if you look at Pick and Pay, you can see that there's pressure on the upside, even though it closed down. So yeah, their charts, you know, the food retailers look a lot better than the apparel retailers. But I was a little concerned about Mr. Price's you know, the picture that you're getting from the chart there. And also, if you look at banks as well, you're starting to get the same picture, a weakening bias coming into their price movements at the moment.
Is it a weakening bias, though, David, or is it just normalizing? Because is it not a case of too much good news baked into the stock?
I think too much good news baked in, yes. And it's exactly what Wayne says. You know, recessions come and go, and these are just normal cycles that happen. And just one thing to end it all, companies don't stand still. You know, they don't sit in the corner and suck their thumb and sulk. They try and adapt themselves to what they think is going to happen, whether it's laying off staff, cutting costs, becoming more efficient, you know, maximizing, you know, just re-looking at their operations, selling off those operations they don't use. So the one thing about the capitalistic system of businesses, they don't stand still even in bad times.
Yeah. Talking about another counter in the retail sector that doesn't stand still is the Foschini Group. There's a question from a viewer. Please ask the panel about the long-term merits of an investment in the Foschini Group. Wayne?
Look, I think long-term, it's actually a very good company. They've done well over the years. But to come back to the previous question, I mean, we're in for a tough year, 18 months in South Africa. We've got very high fuel prices. Oil price will fall over the next year or so. It's there's no actual shortage of oil. There's plenty of oil around. You just can't get it to the consumer at the moment. Food inflation will truly plummet. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the raw commodity price of food is 30% lower in a year's time than what it is now, because it's already at incredibly high levels. And every other instance where it's got to these high levels over the next year, 18 months, the food prices have actually plummeted. So we should get interest rate cuts at the end of next year in South Africa as well. But until then, the domestic shares are going to come under continued pressure. I mean, you know, you spoke earlier on about the confidence indices. It's going to be the case worldwide. So tough times for the next maybe 6 months, 12 months on domestic shares. Mm. But the one good thing about a bear market and tough time and recession and whatever, all the other alternatives that David mentioned there, is you get a chance to buy shares at a decent price. Mm. So the next move we should all do is consider buying shares.
Yeah. So, David, would you consider buying the Foschini Group?
In time. It's funny, while Wayne was talking, I just quickly went on to look at the Foschini chart, and it's showing the same kind of pattern as Mr. Price.
Yeah.
You know, more likely to head downwards in the short term. And if it breaks a certain what we call support levels, you know, you could find more weakness. So we don't have to rush in yet. You know, and the one thing about Mark, just be patient. You know, I'm not patient. You'll hear from my stock pick, but I mean, but everybody else can be patient.
Yeah. So, I mean, would you say that the Foschini Group, though, does have a leg up on the other retailers, especially apparel and furnishings, because now also it's got, you know, the upside of the manufacturing expansion?
It's a well-run business, full stop.
Yeah.
And I think that stands in good stead. You know, as Wayne said, it's a very, very well-run business in whatever they do.
Yeah.
So that's where their advantage is.
Yeah. All right. Let's get out of retail and go into construction. please ask the panel's view on PPC. Of course, they did come out with results earlier on this week. Was it on Monday or yesterday? Yeah, a mixed bag, saying that the demand in South Africa is normalizing from the high base we did see in the previous comparable period, but really, really still challenged in Zimbabwe with that hyperinflation, although we did see an uptick in demand, saying also that they're not seeing a significant boost from the government's infrastructure program. Wayne, where are your confidence levels on PPC?
Look, I think the building and construction sector is still in for many, many a tough year ahead. You know, you cannot see any expansion in the shorter term. Okay, the mining sector will expand, but you need civil infrastructure. You need buildings to go up. There's 25% office vacancies. No one's building another office block. The government's got no money to embark on huge infrastructure. The SOEs are effectively all bankrupt, so they're not going to do much. Falling interest rates in a year and a half, 2 years' time will help them. But until then, There's excess capacity in the building and construction sector. It's excess capacity in cement manufacturing. I'd stay away.
David, are you as cautious on the building and construction industry? I mean, are you not seeing any opportunities there with any other companies besides PPC?
Not yet. Not yet. You know, you need government to spend. You can produce those small bags, which you'll find in most of the business, it's building companies and so on. Yeah. But I miss the trucks. You know, we always used to get stuck behind those trucks, the Metier trucks, which drop cement on your car and all over the roads. I haven't seen any of them driving around for ages. You know, it just gives an indication that there's absolutely no big projects taking place. There's nothing happening. And that's what you need to drive the construction and particularly PPC. You know, they can't make a living by just selling bags of cement to bucky builders. You know, you need big projects.
You know, those results, 85% increase in costs in Zimbabwe. Should it not be a conversation then for them to leave Zimbabwe?
Wayne actually brought that up last week.
Yeah.
Not only about Zimbabwe, but also the cost of electricity, because to drive those big, you know, which he said, Wayne, I'm talking for you, but those big factories, you know, you need a lot of electricity.
Yeah.
And so your costs go up and also the disruptions that you get.
Yeah. There's a question here on Meta, and I know, David, that you look at it quite a lot. So I'll start with you. Do you now view Meta as a value stock as opposed to a growth one?
Yes. I think a lot of those companies and are coming down to levels where you can actually look at them as value stocks. It depends on what metrics you use. But you know, the way I'm looking at it is I'm looking what lies ahead in the next couple of years, and you come to what you feel is a fair value for them, an intrinsic value, and you compare it with where the market price is trading at the moment. And if you get that level of comfort, you can buy it. You know that. So I think a lot of businesses are coming to to that kind of level now, where you can actually view them using some of the methods that value investors look at companies.
I'm wondering if this is not a minority opinion, because I mean, when you have these challenges in the macroeconomic environment, you have increasing interest rates, rising inflation, they're always the first to get beat down. Wayne, where's your view on this?
Look, if you look at the FANG shares, I mean, Netflix is down 70%. All the rest are down 50%. You know, Tesla's down 50%, so I don't think Elon Musk is the richest man in the world anymore. And Google's the only one that's down less than that, and they're down 20-25%. I mean, I don't want to make a comment about Tesla, because I think, you know, there's still a lot to be proven there. But certainly on the FANG or MANG shares, these are big companies with serious balance sheets and serious cash flows. And quite frankly, in the medium term, probably very little competition. And you're buying them at half price? I would buy it. I don't care if it's a growth or a value share. It's clearly not a growth share anymore. I'm not sure if it's a deep value share yet. But I think over the longer term, these are fantastic buying opportunities. It just might be an even better buying opportunities in 2 months' time, because I still think there's some downside. But we've had the majority of the downside.
Yeah. Quite an interesting note that you make there, that he might not be the richest man in the world right now. I think we should be telling that to South Africans on Twitter, who've been begging him to come and sort out load shedding in South Africa, of course, where he was born. There's another question still on Meta, David. Can in-app purchases through their marketplaces ever be a significant source of revenue and rival e-commerce platforms?
They've got a lot of work to do. I don't think they, I think, I don't know how successful that is. I still think they rely, you know, very heavily on the advertising side, and of course on Instagram and WhatsApp. So I'm not quite sure that side of it is working that well. I don't know. We're going to see their results when they come through in a couple of weeks' time. But I still think that perhaps the downside has been overdone, and I still think there's most corporates still need this to be done. The fact that they're advertising, the fact that they want people to buy through it, I'm not sure whether they can compete with many of the other businesses. But the one thing that they are doing is that they're starting to put a lot of money into this kind of metaverse, and more people in conversations are coming up, even through, sorry for going on, but like a L'Oreal interview that I heard the other day. They were talking about the metaverse, in other words, kind of putting on glasses, putting on these goggles, and trying to, just trying to sell kind of products through it, because you get a different vision of beauty and so on. So I'm quite a big fan of the metaverse, and I think it's going to be a big thing.
All right. Let's move on. We have a flood of emails about Prosus and Naspers, as we have for the past 3 days. So, in light of the recent developments, I'm currently a Prosus shareholder. Shall I switch from Prosus into Naspers, or is it better to hang on to my Prosus for the long term, Wayne?
Sorry, I didn't hear the what's the first company's name?
So it's Prosus. So I'm currently a Prosus shareholder. Shall I switch?
Prosa.
Yeah, Prosus.
Process.
Process.
Okay. Okay, so okay.
shall I switch from Prosus into Naspers, or is it better to hang on to my Prosus for the long term?
Look, I don't think it makes much of a difference. Naspers has still got a bigger discount, and I might as well talk about it now because Naspers is my stock pick, and I know it's up 45% in the last month, but I still think there's more to come here. It is quite clear from their latest statement that they are going to sell 10 cent shares and buy back their own shares if the discount remains large. Now, the discount I know is obviously closed, but there's probably still another 50% that can be reaped out of the share price simply by buying back your own shares. And I think they're going to do that. We spoke about this a while back. They were under a little bit of pressure to unlock the discount and close the discount, but not under massive pressure when the share price was going up. But when it fell from 4,000, through to 1,000, what about 1,600, the pressure is truly on to unlock that discount, and they're going to do it. And the way they've chosen to do it is by selling the 10 cent and buying back their own shares in the open market. And there's no limit to it. There's no time scale. There's no value being put on how many shares they're going to buy back. They're just going to do it until they think their discount is at a reasonable level, even if that means selling every last one of the 10 cent shares that they got. So that's, I mean, that's, so there's my stock pick early in the program.
Okay, interesting question now. Is it a good time now to purchase Naspers and Prosus shares? We have seen that surge. So is it a good time, or has that boat sailed? David.
Well, it's my stock pick, so I think it's a good time.
David.
I think it's going to dominate. Simply reiterating or just echoing what Wayne says. If they're going to keep buying their shares and selling out of Tencent, then there's going to be a natural buyer from it. I don't know whether they've started yet. I don't know, because they've been a, now. And why do I say that? Is that the last 2 days, both Prosus and Naspers, well, it certainly attracted a lot of attention, have made up, today it was 30% of our market value, and of the turnover on the market, and at 33%. And yesterday, I think it was over 40, closer to 45%. So you all of a sudden we're seeing big value traded on the market. So when you've got that kind of buying power, yes, it's going to make a difference.
All right. There seems to be some anger coming through on email, so just on Naspers and Prosus. So I believe that investors have been too soft on Naspers and Prosus management for too long now. It is astounding that Prosus decided not to sell Tencent shares until 2024 voluntarily, Nochal. Now they will sell small amounts of Tencent, and investors are excited. Nothing has changed. Management still don't know how to unlock the discount. Wayne,
Yeah. Okay. Look, I mean, we've spoken about this discount in the previous question. The discount exists for two reasons. Number one, it's a holding company of Tencent, and there's always a discount in the holding company. So the way you unlock that is you sell the Tencent. The other discount is a lot of their businesses, even though the last set of results, they are looking significantly better, they're still absorbing, the other businesses now are still absorbing cash, and absorbing cash in a very, very big way. And it'll be a year or two or three or however long until those businesses turn profitable. So the reason why they didn't sell out the Tencent is they needed the money from Tencent, the dividends, to fund the other businesses. But now they said, we'll sell Tencent capital to fund the other businesses and buy back our own shares to unlock the discount. So as I said earlier on, when your share price falls from 4,000 to 1,500, there is serious pressure from your own internal and you personally to do something and do something radical. And that's what they're doing now.
There's another question. It is concerning that Naspers and Prosus need the whole 2.1 trillion rand investment in a Tencent for new ventures. It will lead to poor acquisitions and a burden an already stretched management team. At most, they should set aside 50% of Tencent for new ventures and return the rest to shareholders. David.
I didn't quite have the last hit.
So it says
You mean they should return the money to
Yeah,
shareholders
so
rather
50%.
than buying back shares or investing in other companies? In
So,
other words,
yeah.
give you the full sale of what they're of the Tencent. There's merit in that. Listen, I'm not a great supporter of management and what they've done, to be honest. But that doesn't mean I don't think the share price is going to go up for whatever reason. My sentiments towards management and what the share price are going to do are not the same. And that's why I think these shares will go better simply because of what they're doing. But but I do think that there might be some merit in that. In other words, giving back to shareholders rather than wasting it. But that's not going to happen. I don't think they can. I actually don't. I think it's very, very difficult. There might be a lot of tax issues and other issues related to that, which I can't say, whether they can pass it right through to you.
All
But
right.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's stock pick time. It's stock pick time. Wayne, is there anything that you want to add since we already know that you're picking Naspers as your stock pick?
Just a little bit on the previous discussion. The investment by Naspers, Prosus in new tech, new startup companies that are going to absorb cash, that's not going to happen. They are going to still have to put money in their existing businesses and get those businesses through to positive cash flow. And as I said, the last set of results were actually quite encouraging. The revenue growth and the lower losses that they're showing in those businesses, but they're not going to embark on another food delivery stroke e-commerce venture, given the fact that they're going to sell the Tencent and buy back their own shares. So the truly big expansion by Naspers outside of Tencent is probably a thing of the past, unless the share price recovers enormously. So yeah, that's my last comment on it.
All right. David, your stock pick for today?
Now I'm going with what we discussed earlier about the FANG stocks. And I think that the one that we haven't recommended, and I still think is a wonderful company, is Apple. And for the first, I was never a buyer of Apple, but I start to think now at these kind of levels, it's starting to look very, very attractive. And you're being given it at a very juicy price. Excuse the pun, if you didn't catch that.
David and Wayne, I'm
No,
being
we got it, David. We got
David and Wayne, I'm being beaten down by a viewer saying that I can't we can't have a presenter who clearly hasn't heard of or can't pronounce a process. Just wanting to clear it up that yes, I do know about a process, but it's just a difference in pronunciation. So thank you very much to the both of you for joining us. Thanks to my guests, David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities and Wayne Macari from FNB Wealth and Investments. Stockwatch is back tomorrow on Friday, tomorrow actually on Thursday. Have a good evening.
Not your problem.